Welcome to Westport Road Baptist Church. We're so glad you've decided to join us for today's message. Westport Road Baptist Church is located at the corner of Hurstbourne Lane and Westport Road in Louisville, Kentucky. If you have a Bible, please have it handy and prepare your heart and mind as our pastor, Chip Pendleton, brings us the Word of God.
Good morning and welcome to everybody that's watching online as well. We're certainly glad to have you with us this morning. We're actually starting a new sermon series as we kick off the Lenten season called Life is a Highway. And we're going to be looking at the journey that we all take in life. That journey of life has ups and downs and potholes, and sometimes we get lost. But knowing that God is with us will help us as we go on that journey of life. So we're going to be looking at that over the next 6 weeks. When I first began this series and started thinking life is a highway, it reminded me of that song from the movie Cars. Anybody here ever see Cars? Anybody see it in the theater? Okay, you're the really old people because it was 2006. Did you all know that? Almost 20 years ago, 18 years ago, that movie actually came out. Well, if you don't know what it's about, here's just a little snippet that shows you. So Life is a Highway. The movie Cars is about a car by the name of Lightning McQueen. He's the best car in the world, the best race car in the world. He's arrogant. He wins every time he goes out, no matter what anybody does to him. He's on the way to the biggest race of his life when he gets sidetracked on Route 66. Sorry, Lisa Sharber, okay? Don't take Lightning McQueen's route. But he ends up in Radiator Springs, and in Radiator Springs, he learns some things about life. He learns to be humble. He learns the value of friends. He learns that there's a different road to life that he should have been taking. And that's kind of what we're going to be looking at over the next 6 weeks or so, this road of life. We're going to start over in Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12, if you want to turn over to that. In this section, Paul is talking about the only way we obtain perfection is through Jesus Christ, and our ultimate goal is to be like Jesus, but that's not going to happen until we get to heaven. So look over this three sentences, Philippians chapter 3, beginning with verse 12. He says, "Not that I've already obtained all of this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it, but one thing I do, I forget what is behind and I strain towards what is ahead. I press on toward the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus." Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I just pray that you'll help us to not only see it and hear it, but Lord, help us to live out its truths in our lives. And in Jesus' name we pray it. Amen. So we look at this Philippians 3 passage that Paul has for us here. And the first thing we see as we get started is this. Life is a journey where we should be getting closer to God every year of our life. It starts out in verse 12, and he just says, "Not that I've already obtained all of this, or I've already arrived at my goal, but I press on to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me." So he says, when it comes to life and living life the way that he should, he said, it's not that I've already obtained it. I'm not there yet. Now, if we're honest, we all would have to admit that none of us are there yet. When it comes to being the kind of person that we should be, the kind of person that we're striving to be, none of us have fully obtained that. And that's what Paul is trying to tell us, that perfection isn't something you're going to obtain until heaven. But he goes on, he says, I haven't obtained it, I haven't reached my goal, but I press on to take hold of it. In other words, every year of my life, every day that I live, I'm trying to just get a little closer to God and be a little better in the way that I'm living. But then he ends that sentence and he says, I'm trying to take hold of that for which Christ Jesus took hold of me. So yes, I'm saved. Yes, I'm going to heaven, but I'm not going to be perfect until heaven. Now, that's something that we sometimes have trouble wrapping our minds around. And so we get frustrated sometimes when we're not where we want to be. But life is a journey towards God. If life is a highway, it means that every day you're getting a little bit closer to God, but you're never going to be where you want to be until you actually get into heaven. But some Christians have trouble with that. Some Christians think they're just better than other people. They think they've already arrived, and they look at other people and they condemn them because of the things that they're doing and the way that they're living. And what we forget is this: it's not where you are today that matters as much as where you've come from. Are you making progress towards God? That's what's really important as you're going down the road. Are you getting closer and closer to God? It's not where you're at today even. Sometimes today you may have a bad day, and we all have bad days every once in a while. Sometimes you don't live the way that you should, and you've got to get it back going again. We're going to see that in our sermon series. But in the last year, are you closer to God than you were a year ago? Are you making progress as you go on that journey of life? Now, sometimes we fool ourselves into thinking we're really good people and that we've obtained something that we haven't obtained yet. And so we have problems when it comes to dealing with other people. Sometimes we have problems when it comes to dealing with non-Christians. And we think this: why aren't non-Christians acting like Christians? Well, I've got a clue for you. You know what it is? They're not Christians. That's why. They've never experienced the God that you have. They've never experienced His love and forgiveness. They don't believe what you believe. And so when they act differently than you do, you shouldn't be surprised. And it isn't even something you look at them and say, hey, I condemn you and you're a bad person. It's they've never had the opportunity to know God the way that you have. And maybe you being in their life is that opportunity. Maybe you being the light in their life and the forgiveness in their life and the help in their life is going to point them to something they've never seen anywhere else. But we're quick to condemn people who don't even believe what we believe because they're not where we are on that journey of life. But sometimes we condemn other Christians. We condemn other Christians, especially new Christians. So maybe you've been a Christian for years in your life, and you've grown and matured on that highway of life. But then you look at a new Christian, and you think, why aren't they where I am on the road? Because they're just getting started. That's why. And instead of condemning them because of where they are, you just need to be overjoyed that they've begun that pathway of growing closer to God and getting closer to Him and learning more about Him and living more about Him. You don't judge them by your standards. You judge them by where they've been and where they are now as they go down that journey of life. So when we condemn new Christians because they're not mature Christians yet, there's a reason again. They're not mature Christians yet. And obviously, maybe some of us aren't if we're condemning them for that as well. You know, anybody here remember the singer B.J. Thomas? You know, raindrops keep falling on my head. Everybody kept asking me, you going to sing Life is a Highway? And I said, no, I'm going to sing Raindrops Keep Falling on My Head today. And then they were really confused when we got into this. Well, at the height of his fame, B.J. Thomas had a radical transformation and became a Christian. Gave his life to Christ. And so he got off alcohol and drugs. He started cleaning his life up. He reconciled with his wife, and he put out a Christian album. Now, he was still one of the biggest pop artists in the world, but when we would do concerts, he would incorporate one or two Christian songs into the concert that he had written, and he would talk a little bit about Jesus. But he came under intense debate and a lot of people condemning him for what he was doing. And do you know where it came from? Christians, not non-Christians. They would even boycott his concerts. Do you know why? Because he was singing secular music and he was supposed to be a Christian. He's supposed to be singing about Jesus and he's singing about raindrops. And they would get so mad that they would protest out in front of his concerts and they would yell at people going into them that they were going to hell. And B.J. Thomas said, it totally ruined anything that I was trying to do because I was trying to incorporate a song about Jesus and tell people about my faith, but they didn't want to hear it because they'd just been told they were going to hell by some crazy people outside there. So B.J. Thomas ended up questioning his faith, struggling with his faith. He stopped going to churches altogether because he went to one church and started giving his testimony, and people stood up and started screaming in the church, shame on you for singing secular music. And so we look at other people and we condemn them, and we don't realize that we're all saved in the same way, and maybe the road is just a little bit different. And maybe the road you're taking isn't going to be the same road other people take, but it's going to lead to God. We all have different paths that we go on. But not only do we do it when we look at that, sometimes we do it with people who are even more mature Christians. So somebody that maybe we say is on our level of great Christian maturity, and then they mess up. And when they mess up, man, we jump all over them. I can't believe that. You're a Sunday school teacher at that church, and you did that? Woo! You're a bad person. I would never do that. And you know what we forget? On this highway of life, we're never going to be perfect. You're not perfect. How would you like every time you messed up, somebody pointed it out to you and said, you go to church every Sunday and you did that, you read your Bible, you've got that little fish on your bumper sticker and you live like that? And they look at you and they condemn you, and what we forget is we mess up too. We don't want everybody broadcasting it when it happens. So instead of judging other people, we need to understand none of us are perfect. We're all on that highway of life. We haven't obtained it. We're pressing on to take hold of what Christ Jesus took hold of us. And that's the first thing that we see. The second thing that we see is this. To move forward, we must look ahead and not get distracted by the past. To move forward, you have to look ahead and not get distracted by the past. Look at the very next verse, verse 13. Brothers and sisters, I do not consider myself yet to have taken hold of it. But one thing that I do, I forget what is behind, and I strain towards what is ahead. So he starts out just like he did in verse 12, and he said, I haven't taken hold of it yet. I'm trying to get to this perfection. I'm trying to get to be like Jesus. I'm not there yet. But one thing I do to get to where I'm trying to be is I forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. Now, what's it mean by forgetting what's behind? Does that mean you don't learn from the past or you don't remember the past at all? Doesn't mean that. You know, the past is something that's going to teach you and help you and move you along the way. But the past isn't something that you focus on. The past is something you learn from and you benefit through, and then you continue to press on for what is ahead. And if all you do is live in the past, you're never going to get to where you should be in the future. The other day, I was driving from Crestwood to the Snyder Freeway. It's just a few miles. It's under construction now. If you've driven that lately, you know the state of Kentucky has purposely tried to make it as dangerous as they can. You know, what they're doing is they're saying, let's put every pothole we can right in front of two concrete walls, you know, and then tell people to drive 70 miles an hour or something like that, you know. So that's kind of what they're doing. Well, I heard somebody blowing their horn behind me, and so I looked in my rearview mirror. They weren't blowing at me. They were blowing at somebody else. And the two cars behind me were like in a death struggle. They were like passing each other and blowing the horn and going crazy. And so I was entertained. And so I'm watching this through my rearview mirror, and then I look up, and I'm going right towards that concrete wall, and I go, whoa, and I come back around, and then my heart's, you know, beating like this, and I thought, you know, if I wasn't such a great driver, I would have hit that concrete wall. But then it occurred to me, maybe I should be looking forward, not looking back when I'm driving down the interstate. Okay? So it's the same principle that Paul's using here. It's not that you don't appreciate the past or learn from the past or talk about the past every once in a while, but it's that your focus has to be on what's ahead, not what's in the past, because it can affect you two ways. First, it will affect you if your past was bad. It can affect you negatively. If you look back on the past and what you think is, man, I really messed up, or I didn't do very well, or we failed at this or that, or you go through and you have guilt, you have shame, and you never get around to living in the present. And so you can't be obsessed with what is in the past. You have to be able to say, look, Jesus has forgiven me. I've got a new start. I'm going on from there. Because the past can cripple us. It can cripple us with guilt and defeat and shame and never allow us to move forward. Now, you can learn from guilt and defeat and shame. You can learn, man, I messed up. I don't ever want to do that again. I want to get better at what I'm doing. But you can't live in the past and just focused on the failure. You've got to use that failure then to move yourself forward. Several years ago, I was pastoring a church, and a guy had been asked to be a deacon, and he said no. And the committee that was doing that, they said, man, you need to go talk to this guy because, you know, everybody wants him to be a deacon. And so I went and said, hey, and he's probably at this point in his late 60s or something. I went and said, man, you know, everybody wants you to be a deacon. He said, oh, I could never be a deacon. And I said, why is that? And he said, because when I was in college from 18 to 22, he said, I didn't live a very good life, and I did some really bad things. And I'll be here every time the doors are open, and I'll volunteer for anything, but I can never serve in an official position because even if Jesus forgives me and I sneak in, I can't forgive myself for things I did back when I was in college. And so there was a man having the guilt and the shame of the past keeping him from being able to live in the present. Now, I wanted to tell him, look, this is a Southern Baptist church. You can do anything as long as it wasn't get divorced and be a deacon. You know, it doesn't matter. You can go out and kill 50 people. We're fine with that. You know, just don't do the other or something like that. You know, but here he is, all this guilt from the past that's holding him down and keeping him from living in the present. But even if the past was good, you can't focus on it. Let's say in the past, you know, it was the greatest year of your life. You got all these promotions at work. You married the most wonderful person in the world, and your marriage was unbelievable. I don't know, you know, your ball team won the national championship, whatever. You know, you got to run out on the field. It can be the greatest year of your life, and you learn from it, and you appreciate it, and you talk about it with your friends, but you don't focus on it. You use it as motivation to continue to move forward. And you can't just say, well, we had a good year and quit at that. It's okay, how can we build on that to make the next even better? And another thing that happens is if all you do is remember the high points, well, when you're having something that's not a high point, sometimes that gets discouraging as well. When we first came back from COVID, we kind of had that struggle here. You know, we came back and we're running 50 people, 100 people, 150 people, and you know, all we're thinking is, well, the last Sunday before COVID, we had 840 in church, and now we've got 150. And, you know, and even the staff was getting all depressed and everything. And so finally, I think I've told you all this before, I had a meeting with all the staff, and I said, okay, we're going to mourn. We're going to sit here, and we're all going to whine for the next 2 hours about, woe is me, we used to run 840 and now we've got 200 people showing up at church or something, you know. And so we all whined and talked about all the programs that we lost and all this kind of stuff. And then when we got through with whining, I said, okay, I'm through with the whining and I'm through with it. It's over. We've had our day. From now on, this is where we're at, how we're going to move forward. Because you've got to learn from it and not just dwell on it, whether it was good or whether it was bad. And that brings us to the last thing that we see in our scripture passage. You're never going to arrive at your destination until heaven, so you need to press forward to what is ahead. You're never going to arrive at your destination until heaven, so press forward to what's ahead. Look at verse 14, that last verse. Therefore, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. I press on towards the goal. That's how you stay focused. The way you stay focused is that there is a goal. I don't care what it is in life. It can be with trying to lose weight. You have a goal you're trying to achieve, and you're pressing on towards that goal. It can be with a ball team. There's a goal we're trying to achieve. I'm going to press on with that goal. But it's the same in your life as a human being in your relationship with God. I have a goal in my life, and a goal in my life is to get closer and closer to be like Jesus until the day I am perfected and I'm like him in heaven. And every year and every day, I'm going to try to get closer and closer to God. I'm going to try to be more the person he wants me to be. I'm going to try to be more loving. I'm going to try to be more caring. I'm going to try to be more forgiving. I'm going to try to be more helpful, more understanding. I'm going to try to learn more about God. You're trying to get closer and closer to God. You have that goal. And if you have that goal, then you press towards it. And what it means is that that's why the things in the past don't become the focus any longer. Hey, look, I learned from the good in the past. I've put aside the bad of the past and learned from it, but I have a goal and I'm trying to reach it. And so that's what the future is supposed to be about, trying to become more like Jesus, trying to move ahead, looking down the highway of life, not judging yourself by where you are right now, but where have you come from? Are you moving down the road? Are you getting closer to your goal? Closer to where you want to be and where God is leading you to be. I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God has called me heavenward, because it's not going to be there until heaven in Christ Jesus. The truth of the matter is, if you've lived very long, you know that life isn't always easy. And there's a lot of ups and downs and good and bad. There's going to be potholes, and there's going to be times you get lost, and there's going to be times you just break down. And we've all had that happen in our life before. But the one thing that keeps you going on the highway of life is you're not going through it alone. You're going through it with Jesus Christ. Every one of the sentences we just read here from God, from Paul, he points over and over again to the fact that Christ Jesus is with us as we're on this highway of life, and it makes all the difference in the world. When Dawn and I were coming back a couple weeks ago from our mission trip in Moldova, we flew back from Moldova into Munich. And when we landed in Munich, what we didn't know was that there are a lot of refugees that are trying to sneak in to Germany from Moldova. And so they had two lines, EU and non-EU. Moldova's a non-EU country. We're a non-EU country, so we're in the non-EU line. It was brutal. We were there like 40 minutes and like two people had gone through. And the Border Patrol people are being really, really mean to them. You're staying in a hotel. I need to see the reservation. How much money you got? Show me the cash that you've got right now. Why do you have that much cash? I mean, it was brutal. And like two people have gone through, and Dawn and I are going, we're never going to get through this line. We're going to die in a line in Munich, Germany. But we didn't know that, you know, they're being really careful and extra scrutiny in this line. And so, you know, we're waiting there, you know, for Jesus to come, thinking this is our journey for the rest of time. And suddenly, this border agent walks down and he says this, everybody hold up your passports. So we hold up our passports. And he looks at Dawn and he goes, what country's that? And Dawn goes, U.S.? And he goes, U.S.? And I go, United States of America? And he goes, you have a U.S. passport? And I said, yeah. And he goes, get out of this line. Come with me. And so he walks us down. There's a lady sitting there by herself, no line at all. And he walks up and said, they have United States passports. And she goes, picks up her book and starts reading it again. And he goes, welcome to Munich. And I thought, okay, what had just happened here? Having a U.S. passport made a big difference in getting through that line. It meant the difference between waiting there and having them count my money and just walking through with a stamp. As you go through the journey of life, it's not going to be easy. And there's going to be a lot of potholes and struggles along the way. But you've got a passport. You've got one that everybody looks at. And when they look at it, it's going to make your life different and better because it says, I'm a child of God. And I'm not walking through this life alone. I'm walking through it with him. And that's going to make every difference in the world on your highway of life. Let's have a prayer. Father, thank you for your word. I just pray that each of us would look at our lives and how we're living it and get closer to you. In Jesus' name, amen.
We hope you enjoyed today's lesson and that it spoke to you. If you have prayer needs or want more information about us, we invite you to stop by our website, mywrbc.org, and click on Contact. Please use the word podcast in the subject line. You can also find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, keyword MyWRBC. At Westport Road Baptist Church, we love God and love people. Please join us for Sunday morning service at either 9:30 a.m. or 11 a.m. We also have Sunday school for all ages during both service times. Thanks again for listening, and join us next week for another message from God's Word.